Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to my last Activating Abundance episode. Man, I can't believe it. 52 episodes, one a week for 1 year. I am so proud of myself for doing what I said I was going to do. And we're going to talk about that in this episode. And not just because I finished a year and that is super, I'm impressed with myself that I stuck to something that I said I was going to do, but also that it's an act of integrity that I did what I said what I was going to do. And it came up. The subject of integrity came up in my business meeting this past week. And there was some really great nuggets of wisdom my coach shared with the group that was there. And I didn't want it to go unspoken to my audience because I love sharing what are great aha moments for me. And I've heard him talk about integrity before, but in particular, it's so related to what I wanted to talk about today. It's just like, isn't that funny how that happens? The universe delivers you more of what you were intending. And it's like, well, that was meant to be said then. And what I was planning to talk about before I even had that discussion on integrity was that you have to treat mistakes as a lesson. Everybody's going to make mistakes. And I was going to talk about that because my last guest, she had such a story to tell, Debbie Colburn. And if you haven't listened to that episode, you need to listen to it. And it's funny because she made a huge mistake in her life that she let define her for a long time, even though she had corrected it very quickly. But of course it haunted her and she hemmed and hawed around it because, I don't think she initially was going to share it. But then I just asked her what it was, because she has a podcast and she talks about it in the podcast. And so, you know, at first she was like, listen, I talk about it in my first episode, but then it made my interview with her so much more, interesting. So much more, when people get vulnerable like she did, it makes us love them 10 times more. And what she shared after that, once she spoke the truth, that she was, we were kind of like dancing around, and I didn't even know what it was when I started to have the conversation with her. And it was just a release when she said it. And then to hear her talk about, you know, her lessons from that and where she's come to all these years later. And so that episode we just aired on Monday. So take a listen to it. She has something that, and that's what I say about mistakes. Mistakes happen to us for a reason. And it's our job because what we learn from our mistakes is actually a gift. If you can reframe mistakes as gifts that you can then help others with, not that they'll listen to you, you know, because it's like my kids, you know, as their mother, I'm like a little older, a little wiser. I have some information you might like. And then they kind of still have to fail on their own and then come back. And I love it when my kids say to me, you know, you were right. But then I had to learn it for myself. So, but that's not always the case. I mean, sometimes people do listen to you. And that's one thing that I like to do as now a coach is I like to help my students and my clients by sharing things that have really helped me and have gotten me through some of my more difficult periods in my life, tools that I've used that have helped me. And so this retreat that I just went on, this business retreat, some of the stuff that we talked about, I want to share because they're so relatable to everyone. So about these mistakes, I said, everybody makes them. Everybody makes mistakes. No one's perfect. We try to be perfect. A lot of us live on this whole idea of perfectionism and I can't make any mistakes. And then that only just hurts us because honestly, some of the mistakes you've made and that you've learned from, would you not want to have learned that in hindsight? Don't you think you're a better human from having gone through that and made those mistakes? And haven't you learned more by having those mistakes? So we want this perfection. Many of us feel like, I spelled that wrong. Something simple, a little like that. I still to this day hate spelling mistakes. But at the same time, you know, it, what does that do to us? Living with this worry of making a mistake or living with this, not putting something out there, a message, maybe because we spelled a word wrong, when it's not that word being spelled wrong that makes the difference. It's the collection of words that you used and the emotion and the sharing that you did. So food for thought there. So this whole integrity thing around is related to mistakes, right? Because sometimes, and as in the case of Debbie's mistake, she knew she was doing something wrong when she did it. You know, some mistakes are just accidents, right? Oh my gosh, you know, I did that. I didn't mean to, but some mistakes are intentional. And so when we make an intentional mistake, a knowing mistake, then we even feel worse about it, right? Most of us, unless we're sociopaths, but most of us will intentionally make a mistake, maybe tell a little white lie, something like that. And then it gets bigger and bigger because we continue to hide it or we don't come clean. And in Debbie's case, which was a financial mistake, she came clean immediately, or pretty much immediately. She didn't let it linger. And the reason why it struck me hard is because my brother-in-law, who's a lawyer, has a firm, was embezzled by his secretary, who had been his secretary and was like a member of his family for 19 years. And it was a lot of money. I think I talked about it on a past episode, but it was like over $700,000 that she literally stole right from under his nose. And she was moving money around and, you know, it eventually caught up with her. But after all was said and done, and they hired a forensic accountant to go into the records, it was years and years of this that had happened. And so they went back as long as the bank records could go and they had evidence of it. So it was longer than 7 years. And here she was, smiling to their face, pretending that she was a part of the little lawyer law firm family, because it was a small law firm, and she was stealing right from under their nose. So this is an example of somebody who made a big mistake, but she never came clean. And the problem with that too, is that you violate all of this trust, all of these long-term friendships that can never be repaired. It's irreparable, right? So for example, what she could have done is as soon as she realized they caught her, she could have apologized. Even if she didn't have the money to pay back, she could have apologized. She could have started to try to create at least some sort of, you know, not that the relationship would have been any the same going forward, but she could have started to at least clear, you know, how can I go back and make it better, not go back and, you know, erase it because it's not erasable, but how can I go back and rectify and explain where I was? You know, sometimes if people are just honest about where they were when they made these mistakes, you know, that helps in the understanding, right? And then how can I own up to it? What can I do? How can I help you, you know, retrieve some of this? What happened in the process of this is that the police didn't freeze her accounts. So what money she had that she had stolen, she continued to spend. And in one case, a lavish wedding for her daughter, vacations with her family and extended family, all of which she was posting on social media. So that does not make it better. And then the pandemic hit. So everything related to having justice served was delayed. This delay and that delay. And, you know, it was like, no, not one single email, I'm sorry, email that. And it was clear, lots of evidence. So she didn't even plead not guilty. And then finally the day of reckoning came and she got 20 years in prison. So, and then she boo-hooed to the judge and, you know, cried. And of course, I'm sure that now that she's going to jail, she's very sad about it. And, but when it takes her being put in jail for a crime that she committed, for her to apologize and to be sad, which was 18 months later, you know, that is not learning from your mistakes and using them as a gift to help others. Maybe at some point when she gets out of jail, she can make amends in some way and help others with what she learned through the process of going to jail. She has plenty of time to think about that in her future. Some of it is, waived, you know, or I forget, suspended. It's her first offense. We were very surprised that she got as much jail time as she did. So she, you know, she'll have, I think she's in her 50s, like 53 or something. So she should be out by the time she's 60. And hopefully she'll make the world a better place from this mistake that she made. And she'll have learned some kind of a lesson that she can then help the world with. But I can't imagine how that would feel when you know that you have done something horrible and that you have hurt others in the process, that you've financially almost ruined someone that you worked for and thought of as like a family member. Like, how can you live with yourself? So what is so interesting to me is that, you know, this whole thing about integrity, we talked about like at the beginning when I started chatting about how learning from mistakes, you know, if you are in integrity, and we all make mistakes, but if you are in integrity, have integrity, you are a quick learner. You know, you're quickly, okay, I'm learning and what am I going to do about it? And correcting, like Debbie, my guess. So even though she made this huge mistake, she knew it was wrong. She said, how can I fix this? The water under the bridge, right? But how can I, going forward, you know, work to correct the mistake that I made? So, and like I said, everyone makes mistakes, but what's so important is how fast we can learn from them and recover from them. And not just let them, because when you ignore a mistake, it just grows. It's like an infection or a wound. It just gets worse and worse. And eventually it takes a body part and it takes your, you know, ultimately killing you. And if not, you know, physically killing you, killing your everything, you know, about who you are. And we came here to learn from our mistakes. So sitting on our mistakes, sweeping them under the rug and not admitting to them and trying to, you know, help, you know, really reflect on why did I make that mistake? Who did I hurt? How can I retain or regain? How can I help, you know, maybe that relationship is gone for good, but going forward, how can I make sure that I don't do that again? And help others who to avoid the same mistakes. So we had this conversation about integrity. And so in this, at this retreat, and I looked up the definition of integrity because I wanted to, you know, be clear on this integrity thing. And sometimes when we talk about integrity, I used to think, oh, it's all about what integrity to other people, right? It's like doing what I said I was going to do out loud to other people, promises that I made that I need to keep, things that I said I'd do that I should do, right? But I never really looked at it as integrity with myself as well. What did I promise myself? What did I tell myself? What have I fallen down on the job about myself, right? So it's not only what you didn't do, or in Debbie's case, or in my brother-in-law's secretary's case, what you did to other people on purpose, and then maybe regretted, but it's what did you say you were going to do, or what did you do that was wrong, and that wasn't an integrity with who you are, your word, right? And there is this invisible integrity, right? It's like, you're my friend, I trust you, right? So in some cases where you did something to somebody, it's like you didn't necessarily make a promise, but your act of doing a job is a promise, right? This is part of my job. And you expect me to be, and a lot of companies have codes of, you know, honesty and that sort of thing. Academics, you know, schools have it. So there's this expectation that you're trustworthy, right? So the definition, there's two actually, if you look it up in the, you know, Webster's dictionary online. So first is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. And then the second is the state of being whole and undivided. And that is really kind of where the whole integrity thing goes. When you peel back the layers and you get right down to it, it's like the state of being whole for yourself. Because when you're not in integrity and you know you're not, no matter if it's somebody else or yourself, then it's not who you are. It's not who you're meant to be. And you're always going to have this, you know, knowing, your soul knows. Maybe you're consciously, you know, in denial about it. And sometimes in some cases, like in the case of my brother-in-law's secretary, it gets so big, it's like, now you can't go back. So you just keep doing it. The reason why I'm talking about mistakes and being in integrity and, you know, getting past those mistakes and learning from them is because if you tying it back to abundance, you can actually activate abundance by finding the good in the mistakes you've made and the promises you've broken, no matter how bad they are. And when you do that, you free yourself from the guilt, from the criticism, from all the things that, you know, if you're not a sociopath, which most of us are not, you know, you're slowly killing yourself, dying by a thousand cuts of, you know, bad things you're telling yourself because of this mistake that you've made that you just feel you can't correct. It's all correctable. So some of the stuff that we talked about as it relates to integrity is, and then you can, if you think, oh, I'm, you know, I don't have any integrity problems with myself. I'm pretty much good to my word, do what I say I'm going to do to others and to myself, then great. But you might know somebody who you work with or who is a relative or a friend from your past who didn't keep their promise. So if you can't think of something you did, think of some, you know, put this lens on somebody else. But ask the question of what was the consequence or impact of that unkept promise? And what do you think it did? What did it do to you? And this is worth journaling on. What did it do to you? Or what do you think it did to that person as it relates to how they showed up in the world? Like, were they different in some way? What things do you think they told themselves? What did you tell yourself? So another way of looking at integrity, and as I'm, you know, looking through my notes that I took, is my word is true. So what I say has meaning and is true. So if your word is true and you feel like what you say is true, your subconscious believes that. So what do you think your subconscious thinks if you don't keep your word? Your subconscious probably goes forward with some lack of confidence in yourself and your ability to keep your word going forward. So there were six things that my coach said that really kind of define your word. So if your word is true, your word defined is, one, what you said you do, what you know to do. In other words, you have an inner knowing about what is the right thing to do. So what you know to do, what you said you do and what you know to do is number two. So number three, what is expected of you by all of those who you wish to have a relationship with? And these are kind of like what I was saying, the unexpressed requests, perhaps like code of conduct type of thing. Number four, what you say is real. Five, what you stand for, because we should all have values. And these values make up, you know, what's important to us. And so usually we stand for those values. And six, what is moral, ethical, and legal in terms of the standards to keep? Because, you know, in society, those things matter. So that's kind of we're talking about integrity, your word defined, or kind of those, think about those six things. So, and when you keep your word, it allows you to access your power. And this is really important. And it's kind of like almost that kind of jaw-dropping moment when you hear it. Keeping your word is a powerful thing. When you don't keep your word, think of the opposite: disempowering. If you've ever said you're going to do something and you don't do it, doesn't that make you feel shitty? Doesn't it like make you feel powerless? In some cases, you have the power to keep your word. So when you don't, it's like you did it to yourself. It's like, isn't that kind of crazy to think about that? You simply just erased power, your own internal power, by not sticking to your word. So he asked us, as part of this conversation, to go on an integrity Easter egg hunt. So I am the messenger, since I'm sharing this, go on an Easter egg hunt. I mean, it's around Easter, so it's very applicable. Instead of finding eggs, look for integrity, or where you maybe fell down on integrity. What have you not been keeping your word on? And this was eye-opening for me, because I've been telling myself things that I haven't been doing. So I haven't been keeping my word to myself. And it's funny how that works. Sometimes you're like, I keep my word to other people better than myself. And mine has to do with, oh, I'm going to work out before I do anything this morning. First thing I'm going to do is going to work out. And then I get up and then I'm like, oh, well, I'll do that in like 2 hours. I'll do it before lunch. And then lunch comes. I'll eat lunch and then I'll work out. Oh, and then, but I just need to get this one thing done that I said I'd get done, because that's really important. And then I'll work out afterwards. And then, oh, bye. But then it's dinner and my husband's hungry. And so I'll feed him first. And then, oh my gosh, I have another call. So then that night comes, it's like, oh, I'll work out in the morning. I'll start tomorrow. And it's the whole thing trying to cut out sugar. And then, oh, I'll just have one bite of that thing. So it's interesting. So make a list of the things you haven't been keeping your word on. And you can choose to look at them as mistakes you made. And what can you learn from them? Because this is all, like, this is all going on an integrity Easter egg hunt is going on a lesson learning hunt as well. So, and, you know, this is one of my, and I don't want to say excuse, but one of my, when I'm talking myself into, it's okay to not be integrity with myself. Of course, I never say that. It's okay to push this till later. It's okay to do it tomorrow instead of today. Like I told myself I would. Maybe you're overcommitted. Maybe you've committed too much. And why are you overcommitting and then making the things that are important to other people over you? You know, it's like, why are you like making yourself less of the less important, but also so you can reduce the things you signed up for, perhaps, right? I tend to, I'm an eternal optimist, put it that way. I'm an eternal optimist. And so I make a plan that has so many things on it that are kind of unrealistic and don't give myself time. And so what falls by the wayside is that sometimes the self-care stuff that really helps you be more productive and focused. Isn't that crazy? And so if I eliminate some of the things that I'm over committing on and put in some self-care stuff, maybe I'll get more done because I'm spending that time in quiet and I'm spending that time in reflection and it's giving me ideas. And I know that some of the things that are on my list probably I shouldn't even be doing. How about that? So, and these two things I starred because they're pretty like, whoa, all right. Being in integrity is being whole and complete as a person. Okay. Do you remember that definition? The state of being whole and undivided. Yeah. It totally relates, right? So being in integrity, again, I'm going to say it, is being whole and complete as a person. When you're not in integrity, what's the opposite? You feel incomplete. Being out of integrity causes a loss of yourself. So by disempowering yourself, you lose part of yourself. That's powerful stuff. And when you honor your word, you're at peace. It's like your frequency goes up and you're so much more magnetic from that power. It's just like electricity. You know, you're in integrity, the electricity is on full bore. When you turn the electricity off, there goes the power, right? And the cost of lack of integrity, there's four things that he discussed, which totally could relate to, is that, you know, essentially, it's unworkability. When you're not in integrity, you're not as productive. It's not a workable, tenable situation, right? I mean, heck, you can get stuff done, but when you're A, disempowered, B, untrusted or trustworthy, even to yourself, or, you know, the other things I talked about, yeah, it's not as much of a workable, you know, situation. It's not an ideal situation by a long stretch. So unworkability is one cost. And the next cost is that life appears to be a bit of a mess and unmanageable. And that can appear from, you know, other people looking in or just you feeling that way. And maybe probably some thoughts that you're saying to yourself, you know, that inner critic. I'll do a future episode about the inner critic. We did a long thing on that, and that was so, so powerful. But the other cost would be self-disintegration, meaning you limit what you can be. You are limiting, by not being in integrity, what you can be, your potential. So you're disintegrating the self, because you've lost that potential by not being true to your word. You have doubt of your, the doubt is delivered when you are out of integrity. And when you have doubt, that's very limiting. And it also, the other cost is it reduces your ability to realize what is possible for you. You lose the ability to see the opportunities, to see the potential. So you're not only limiting what you can be, you're limiting the possibilities. So it's a little bit different, you know? One is, and you know, if I were to, you know, look at this, you know, like in a little bit more, you know, how there's very, very, they're very, very associated, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, limiting what you can be and reducing your ability to realize what is possible for you. But I think to me, self-disintegration is more about the present, like, you know, the doing today or the doing the present moment, you know, it's limiting what I can be, what I'm and working on actively. And the reducing your ability to realize what is possible for you is more about the potential of the future. You know, it's like aspiring to be something, you know, like the goals that you're setting and the dreams that you have. And so that gives you the doubt of the today and what's nearer term, and the doubt of the tomorrow and the further term. So that was kind of what the integrity discussion was. Another thing that he said is it's not like a destination. We're not striving to get to a place of integrity. It's a discipline. It's something we have to do every single day. So every single day, we have to stand in integrity with, like, what did I say I was going to do? And the other thing that's so important about integrity is a lot of times we think we can't go back on, like, oh, if I made a promise to myself and I said I'm going to do something and I have to do it. Oh, an example, somebody said, well, I set this goal for quarter one. And while I was going through quarter one, I realized that I didn't want to, like, an example was she was going to be launching her program or a membership. I can't remember which, but she was like, oh my gosh, I want to do something different. It's not set up and I need more time in order to get it right. So she felt like she was out of integrity because she postponed what she said she was going to do, her goal, till quarter two. And she said, but I knew that the stuff that I would launch wasn't going to be right. So I was I out of integrity or did I do the wrong thing? How could I be integrity in that situation? And it was an excellent example, because clearly if she was knew something was wrong, her goal had to shift. We get so caught up in the goal and hitting the goal that we're not realizing, okay, now if there's a pattern of continuing to delay and continuing to delay, now this is going to be quarter three. Now this is going to be a quarter four. Then you got to realize, okay, what's behind this? You know, there's more to it than just, you know, oh, I got to get it right. But if you know there's something really wrong, to go ahead forward would be like out of integrity, right? So it's like, is it like a lose-lose? No, it's like, okay, I'm in integrity. I'm staying in integrity, but I'm going to do it this because it's going to be the right thing to do. So you have to like understand that, you know, a goal is something that can shift. I'm very clear and open about that with my students, because I don't want people to get all caught up in like, because the universe works with us in very strange ways, and time is not something it's necessarily worried about, but we are, because we set these goals that are time-based. But if you learn something in the process of going towards that goal, that's why it's so important to just like focus on the next step and not necessarily step 10 when you're working only on step one. So you have these goals, but longer term goals clearly will shift as you continue to work towards them. So, but just keep in mind that if you are always setting, and this was an example with her, is you're always integrity with a, like the time-based goal, and you're always hitting it, then you might be playing it too safe and you might be playing too small. So like shifting goals can have an element of, it has an element of risk. And if you set, like, you know, they say, reach for the moon and you'll, or stretch for the moon and you'll reach the stars or something like that. Or no, it's backwards. Stretch for the stars and you reach the moon. Because it's always saying, you know, the stars are so far, but you'll get to the moon at least, right? And you wouldn't have even gotten there if you hadn't started reaching for the stars. So I like, that's a good analogy, because being in integrity isn't always like absolutely doing and hitting the things that you said you're going to do, but it's always saying when you're going to switch them. So you're always being very clear. So if you, in other words, this is another good one that's not business related, it's just like life related. So you're going to be late for an appointment. If you're consistently late for appointments, you got to look at that, because that's a pattern. But if you're normally on time to appointments, and this one day you're going to be late to an appointment, you call, right? You say, oh my gosh, I'm, for whatever reason, I'm in traffic. I will be there in 5 minutes. So, you know, that is an integrity, because you, before the deadline came that you said I'd be there by this time, which is what an appointment is, a deadline, a commitment. And so if you miss it and you get there 5 minutes late, that's out of integrity. So you get there, you're on time. You're saying an integrity, you are on your way, and you hit a roadblock. You have to take a detour. You know, get behind an accident, whatever it may be, whatever. You took too long in the shower, so you just didn't time it right. Call. I'm sorry. I will be there in 5 minutes. I so apologize for being late. That is being in integrity, because you're still true to your word. Word sometimes adjusts. Now, when it comes to my own self, so in the example of the working out, my target is always like get up in the morning, work out. If it shifts, that's okay. But if it's a pattern of shifting, that's not okay. So, and if I said I was going to work out and it's Monday morning and I'm like, okay, I'll do that, I'm going to get it done later, I better damn well get it done later. It's something that I promised myself I'd do that day. And if I don't get it done in the morning, hey, maybe I was out of integrity, but I set another time, just like if it was an appointment with somebody else, set another time. And I say, okay, I'm going to do it at 11:30 before lunch. And you stick to that new appointment with yourself, just like other. So go on your integrity Easter egg hunt, see where you haven't been in integrity, where you could do better. And we're not trying to be perfectionists here. We're just trying to be, live to our word. We want to be true to our word, and we want to be whole and complete. We want to be empowered. We don't want to go through life continually disempowering ourselves, turning the electricity off in our soul and losing ourselves. We don't want to do that. There's big mistakes. They can happen, but they are correctable. Step into that integrity, take responsibility, take accountability. It's all within your power. And when you do that, when you are whole and empowered, that activates abundance. So hopefully you enjoyed this last episode of Activating Abundance. Hopefully it'll help you, you know, turn on more of your electricity and feel less guilty about, because, you know, sometimes we walk through life just beating ourselves up for the things we said we were going to do that we didn't do. And just know that it's adjustable, but just know that it also does hurt you if you don't follow through on those things. And you're not honest with yourself. That's key. So what I'm going to do going forward, and I'm going to talk about this in my next episode on next Friday. So, you know, as if you're a listener regularly, and if you're not, I have a Monday episode every Monday, which is an interview where I interview interesting people. I've got a really neat one coming up tomorrow with a stress resilience expert, a doctor. She's a dynamo. She's so amazing. So I have those on Monday. And then on Fridays, I like to do an additional episode where it's just usually me talking. And so this past 52 weeks, I've been talking about activating abundance because I wanted to step into a more abundant me. And I thought sharing all of how I, my examples of how I activate abundance and different things that, you know, ideas I had throughout the year of where I could apply it, things that I learned from my book, Simple Abundance. I did not write it, but it's a book I got that was so, so amazing. And a little excerpt a day, book by Sarah Von Braniff. And so I even gifted away when I do some of my free trainings. It's because I love it so much. But going forward, I have a new series. So I'm going to talk about that next Friday, but I'm excited about it because I'm actually going to do two different types of episodes going forward over the next year. So I'm going to do 12 episodes. The first Friday of every month will have the theme of just friggin' do it. And I'll talk more about that and why I'm doing it and what it all means next Friday. And I'm going to do the short intro episode about why I'm doing it. And then I'm going to do my first episode about something I just friggin' did. All my episodes have the purpose of inspiring the listener to take action of some sort, some positive action in their life. So I hope that you've been inspired by at least one of these episodes over the past 52 weeks. And then my other episodes during the month are going to be all about lessons I've learned, which I like to do anyways. I used to do before I did the Activating Abundance series, kind of that. But in the whole Just Frigging Do It series, I'm going to be learning a lot of stuff. So, and sharing, cause I like to be super open and super, I think the things that I learn by doing crazy, scary things, will help. And help people go just friggin' do something that they have been thinking about doing but have been stalling on, which is most of what these will be. So anyways, I'm very excited. I've got a list of things that I'll be doing that I have been wanting to do for a long time, and I've just never done them. So, and I'll talk more about that again on Friday. So anyways, hope you are enjoying these episodes. I hope that you are looking forward to what's to come. I'm excited to start a new year of something fresh and different. And I love my podcast more than anything. So if nobody listens, I think I'd still do it because I just enjoy sitting here chit-chatting. Yeah. And you might think I'm crazy for like, why do you do something like starting in April? And, you know, I was thinking about that and I was like, well, first of all, I didn't start my podcast until February. So, and then I thought, well, maybe series should start in January when you're kind of starting afresh on new stuff. But I thought, you know, people need like new stuff mid-year. So it's not even mid-year yet, but it's spring. Spring is springing up everywhere. And I thought, you know, spring is an idea, a great time for new ideas, a great time for starting something new. You know, January is kind of in the doldrums of winter. And yeah, we're thinking about New Year's resolutions, but I think spring is a great time to start new things. And I am starting a new series. So hope you'll come along with me and listen in to see what I'm friggin' doing. All right, take care. Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.